a little while. Romans chapter 10 tonight. Romans in chapter 10.
I want to preach a message tonight about the missing link. The missing link. All right, we'll get Romans chapter 10, and going to get into some of these things this evening. I was intending to do, I was intending to tell you, I mentioned last week about the fellow that had, there in Canada, that had began kind of the faith promise, really just actually the faith-giving concept. What's his name? Anybody remember his name?
A.B. Simpson.
A.B. Simpson. Yeah, we talked about him last week. He was he started the Christian Missionary Alliance and started some of that. And so there's another fella that actually brought that from a concept to really, or from a thought into a concept that really where we get to our faith promise missions giving concept today. But I intended to go there, but the Lord directed me to this, and so we'll get to that next week. And we're going to finish next week with that fella and his story and how we really got to that. And I want to kind of explain faith promise missions giving a little bit into that. But tonight, Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Let's pray together this evening. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your goodness to us. Lord, thankful for your amazing grace, Lord, your plan and to get the gospel to us in a way that we might be saved from the burden of our own sin. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would, Lord, would you help us? Lord, would you soften hearts and Lord, give us a vision of what you'd have us to be and how you'd have us to live and where our desires and purpose and all these things. Lord, pray that you'd help us tonight and we'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll talk about number one tonight is really this, is the universal opportunity. Universal opportunity. Look at verse 13 again. He said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Okay? We have here what I'm calling here is a universal opportunity. The scope of salvation is unrestricted, right? We talked about the scope of it, how far it goes beyond what we could ever even see or even imagine habited parts of our world, right? I think this morning in what we've heard today already, it kind of reaches into one of those places. Whosoever removes geographical limitations. I think I mentioned one time here. I think I mentioned here probably this few weeks ago, in the past couple weeks or so. I had interacted with some pastors when I was on the deputation trail, and I can remember this one particular pastor, and he said, "I think maybe God doesn't want to reach Sri Lankan people." Or he said, maybe God doesn't want to reach them. If not that many people are getting saved, maybe God doesn't want to reach them. I thought, if you don't want to support me, that's fine. But you know, let's don't write off a whole nation of people. It was just a strange... I didn't say anything. I was just kind of like... And I'm using that speechless. But I thought, I'd never heard somebody say such a thought. I didn't, and he was serious. And I thought, at first I thought he was just messing around, but he was, and I thought, wow. But whosoever, what the scripture says, it removes geographical limitations. The opportunities for salvation is not restricted to places that Christianity already fits in. So what I mean by that, it's not simply for the Western world, right? Well, that's the Christianity is for the Western world, or the Judeo-Christian mindset, right? Or even developed nations. That's Christianity. That's Christianity is for the West. It's for that. Or listen, and a lot of times this kind of the kind of concept throughout the world is in other places is gets. Sometimes it's even among ourselves. And I don't mean us in this room, but among even Americans in the West. Well, it's a Christian religion. And so, but it's in those kind of countries. But it not only removes the geographical limitations, but it removes ethnic limitations. It's not an American white man's religion. Which is... And I've heard this, you know, living on the other, you know, other side of the planet, we hear this. That's the white man's religion. You know, that's American. Read books, I'll talk about it. It's the white man's religion. It's American religion. That's the Western religion. Which is so ridiculous. And I always try to point this out, because if you think about this, 250 years ago, there was no America. So let's just say it is an American religion. Well, it's only been ours for 250 years. It's been around long. And the gospel started to spread from the Middle East. So it's fascinating. If it's anybody's religion, it's not ours. We are recipients. If it's anybody's, it belongs to the Jews and the Middle East and the Arab nations. And that's where it started from, in that area, and Greece and that kind of thing. And so... So whosoever removes ethnic limitations. But the third thing is whosoever removes class limitations. So this is not a gospel message for the wealthy. Nor is it only good for the poor, right? Matter of fact, we often think it's primarily for the poor. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, right? So with man it's impossible, you know. And that's what the apostles said. Well, then who can go to? With man it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So it's literally for whosoever may ever exist in this world ever. Right? It's universal. So with the universal promise, it creates a universal responsibility. If they may call, then they must hear. Right? If they must hear, then someone must bring the message. Right? This is kind of how that has to work. So for Paul, this here in Romans chapter 10 was not simply poetic inspiration, right? We sometimes think of the Bible is very poetic. I mean, it's a poetic book, and I don't mean poetic like it's all, you know, poetry, but I mean it has that feel of it's a poetic, and you say things, it's very proverbial and that type of thing. It has that sound. But listen, for Paul, this wasn't just poetic inspiration. He immediately moves from this universal opportunity that he's talking about, and he immediately moves to questions that this universal opportunity demands. It takes the point number two. The gospel advances through a divine order. Let's think here for a minute. The gospel advances through a divine order. When I say a divine order, I'm talking about God. God has ordered how the gospel is going to advance. Right? Look here at verse 14 again. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Okay, so what we find here is this. We find, first of all, is this. Calling depends on what? Believing. Yeah, calling depends on believing. How shall they call and whom they have not believed? The answer is they can't. You can't call on somebody yet. Listen, that they may call begs the question, how shall they call? Okay? How are they going to do it? Listen, this isn't some sort of election that we're talking about here, or a universal promise that all people, you know, we're all children of God. We're all creation. We're all children of God. Wrong answer. That's not what the Bible says at all. Matter of fact, it says you're of your father the... Yeah, y'all know that one. That's right. That's what it says. That's where we start. You sin just like him. Listen, this isn't some sort of universal promise that all will call on the Lord. Calling on the Lord requires one to believe in Him. Must believe on the Lord before one can call Him. So we begin to see here this chain of events that must now take place for the world to receive salvation. I want to talk about this chain of events. It's kind of the message tonight. And I want us to see this thing. We begin to see this chain event. The whosoever that shall be saved have to go through this chain of events. You can't come to salvation any other way. Okay, you have to go through this chain of events. And we're going to see that. So here, before salvation, there must be this calling on the Lord. Okay? You say, are you sure? Well, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's very clear there. There's that requirement. So then to call upon the name of the Lord means, it really means this. You know, call Him, hey, Lord. Right? Or, I don't know, how do we do it? We don't really have a good thing for like this now. You know, cell phone. Just doesn't have the same Lord. It just looks weird, doesn't it? Like, what are you doing? Picking a scab? I don't know what you know. This just, yeah, nobody does, but we still use. Anyway, Lord, is it just to pray? Is that what it means? Is it just pray? Because a lot of times right here what we get, and this is where we get the sinner's prayer right here. The sinner's prayer from this verse. But to call on the Lord isn't just to make a prayer. I mean, listen, man, anybody, I mean, you see lost people. How many people could just do, I pray every day. What do you pray? Well, just things, you know, and who are you praying to? Well, you know, AA has this concept. They'd say, you know, pray to your higher power. I can remember they'd say a doorknob could be your higher power. No, they literally, that's part of the thing they would say. And I'm thinking, man, that's, I mean, a doorknob may get you in that door. But that ain't get, anyway. So to call upon the name of the Lord really means this. It means to appeal to the Lord for mercy. It's really the meaning of that word. In this, when I say appeal to the Lord for mercy, it's really as one might appeal in a court case to a judge. Now when you appeal to a judge, here's what you're doing. You're asking for mercy. You're not appealing to the judge to, judge, I want you to just look at my case and understand why I'm right. No, that's not what appealing to the judge. It really is this. To appeal to a judge means no claim of innocency. It means this, no longer giving excuses. No crying, it's just this, but it's crying out for mercy in your case, judge. I'm no longer the defendant in a sense. You still are. But I'm no longer trying to defend myself. I'm now going to appeal to the court. Right? So, but before one would ever do that, okay? Before one would ever appeal to the court, like when do you stop trying to defend yourself? Most people till death. I am not going to stop. I'm right. You know, even when you know you're wrong, they still, like, you know, you've seen some of these kind of things. But listen, before one would ever appeal, would ever do something like that, they would have to believe, watch this, that there was mercy to be had. You can't think, well, the judge isn't going to listen anyway. No. You to appeal for mercy, you have to believe that mercy is available. Right? You follow me here? They had to believe that guilt was so well established. Right? Listen, that they would also have to believe that judgment was certain. So, no, listen, before one would appeal to the court, before one would appeal to God in the same sense, one would have to realize that I'm guilty. I am guilty. You can't say, well, I just in case. No. You wouldn't stop at that point. Listen, you have to also believe that judgment is coming to me. I am guilty and I'm about to get judgment. Also believing that there was no more self-defense. There's nothing else that I can do to defend myself. But also, one would have to believe that the court had authority over you. Right? That judge, he has got the decision of life and death over me. Right? Finally, though, you'd have to believe that this is the only hope left. You could never truly call upon the name of the Lord until you first believed in your own guilt and His authority to pardon you. You understand what I'm saying to you tonight? We understand this, but I'm trying to put this in a way we really understand what Romans 10 and verse 13 is talking about, this calling upon the Lord. It's not just making a prayer. It's not just saying a prayer. Man, I wish it was that easy. You know what I'd do is give you a card on the back of a track. Hey, in the back of this track tells you how to pray this prayer. Would you just pray this prayer? All right, I'll do that. I can say some words. Man, I wish it was that easy. I wish I had a salvation stick, as far as that goes. There's some kids that I'd like to salvation stick them. Save some adults, I'd like to do that too as well. Some old people. You know what I'm saying? Some politician. Anyway, I'm just saying. But it ain't like that, folks. This is something there's a decision that has to be made. We have to understand, to call upon the name. I've got to understand I'm guilty and He is the only answer and He has the authority to pardon me. So we see then how this first link in the chain is necessary. Okay? Listen, in order to be saved, we have to call on Him. That is the first link in this chain. But there's more links to this chain. Look at verse 14 again. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not, what? Believed. Okay, and how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Okay, so listen, So before someone can ever call on the Lord, they have to believe in Him. So here's the thing. Believing depends on hearing. Yeah. How shall they believe without hearing? You cannot believe on that which you haven't heard about. Do not think for one moment that there's other ways to be saved in other places where the gospel isn't preached. Well, it's not preached out there, so there's probably, I'm sure God wouldn't just send them to hell. There's probably some other way that if they haven't heard, they probably have some place of innocency that they get to go to heaven anyway. That sounds nice. Well, they never actually called on the Lord. They never actually believed on the Lord. They never actually heard the gospel. But they were a good person. So probably they get to go to heaven. This is a lot of funerals are like that. Funeral, probably you want to hear the most lionist folk on the planet. Lionist folk. That's it. Lyingest folks. Not lionist, but lyingest. Go to a funeral. Go to a funeral. That person that died, they are the greatest person that ever breathed air. It is so funny. I preached some funerals. I've been to some. All of a sudden, it's like, man, I wish I'd have known that guy. I mean, I know him my whole life, but I wish I'd have known that one. All of a sudden, you're like, wow, I knew a different version. But and you don't say that. No, you're there. And I get, We can sometimes get this idea that, you know, if people mean well, listen, that's not how. There's only one way for salvation. One way for salvation. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. No other way. No other way. I wish there was a back door. No, I don't. But I wish there was some other way. I wish there was an easier way back to my stick. You know what I'm saying? But it's not God's plan. This is the divine order, not a me order. Listen, creation may show the handiwork of God. It may even draw us to seek out a creator. But we cannot believe without first hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Neither can they. It doesn't matter if they are so far away. I asked the missionary, I said, what's the coldest it gets here? He said, -7. I'm like, oh, that's not so bad. And he looked at me kind of crazy, like, that's not so bad. And he said, 70. I said, oh, 70. Okay, that's bad. That's bad. No, but I don't, here's my opinion. I don't think God created people to live there. People got lost and stayed. You know what I'm saying? They got lost and stayed. But they're there, right? They cannot be saved without hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They can't look at the stars and creation. A lot of people live in some of these places like, wow, we're just that one with nature. One with nature ain't going to get you into God's heaven. It's not going to get you eternal life. And so this is the second link in the chain of events that lead a person to salvation. But there's more. Look again, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So, hearing depends on preaching. He says, how shall they hear without a preacher? We find here God's plan. We find here God's plan to get the gospel to man. Divine order, right? God's plan, not my plan, not your plan, not really smart people's plan, but the God of all creation's plan. Okay, it's not simply through passing out literature. Take it in for a minute. I want you to take that in. We're not going to zip past this. It's not simply. I told you if God's plan is just to get tracts out to everyone, and that we're for tracts, we spend money, we have back. Don't misunderstand. I'm going to get to that in a second. But if God's plan is just to get literature to people, let's fill up planes, dump these tracts all over nations, and say we've reached them. I mean, I'm for it. Let's do it. That's a lot easier. A lot easier. That's expensive. Money is a lot easier than getting laborers, right? So, listen. So it's not simply through passing out literature, though. Okay, I want to give you a little caveat. That passing out literature may get us the beginning of an open door. I don't think it's pointless. I think it's very pointful. I think it's pointed, valuable. Where's my word? I can't find it. We ought to do it. We ought to do it, and we're going to do it. Okay, and not because I go knock on the door, give somebody a gospel track, and I'm like, okay, now they're going to get saved. No, but because giving them that gospel track, they might say, you know what, I've been looking at church. Hey, listen, if you have something, I want you to read this. We got some time, and they read it. You know what they read it? Like, man, I've been thinking about that. I've been looking about that. And they'll call up, and they'll say, hey, pastor, can I come talk to you? Or if they're your neighbor, say, hey, you gave me this, and can I talk? You know, and listen, it's sometimes, not always, but can I say this even rarely, but it is an open door. When I first got saved, I was in logistics in the Air Force, and I was there, and on my desk I had tracts lined up. Little comic book tracks. And people come by and read them. They'd sit down waiting for me to find their parts for the aircraft. So before they'd be reading, they'd read them. And they're like, you weren't supposed to do that. I wasn't supposed to do that. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to. I didn't ask anybody. And nobody told me. They just came out. I kind of had my little corner. They read them. And sometimes people come back in. They come and everybody's gone. They come back in. and they start asking me questions. So sometimes giving that literature gives us an opening door. But it's also not through mass media or mail outs or social media. Man, we live in a day that some of the greatest evangelistic effort is given on my post. Jesus said you need to repent, you filthy sinner, or you're going to hell. That just gets a hold of hearts, right? Now, listen, people put stuff out there. Sometimes it becomes almost so much on this social media or mass media and these things out here. And then now there's commercials. Jesus cares. It's like a whole millions of dollars to put out this Jesus cares video. And it's weird. It's not the gospel. It's just some thing. Hey, listen, you say, well, you think all that. Listen, it may open a door. I'm not saying don't do it. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying that's not going to fulfill the link. That's not it. God's plan has been, and it continues to be, to use those who have themselves believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be the preachers of this good news to others. That's the divine order. Divine order is that somebody, there'd be a preacher. I've heard people say, well, you know, somebody had to write that track, so it's kind of a roundabout. Isn't it funny how we try to find a way around what God has already just made clear? Listen, someone must tell someone else about Jesus Christ. That's the link. That's the link in this chain. The link is God wants to, he says this way, from faith to faith. Okay, from someone. God could have used angels. He could have used other things. Could have used His own voice from heaven. God could have done miracles. God could have done all those things that God could have chosen. But He said, listen, here's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to tell you, if God has a plan, I'm going to tell you it's going to work better than any plan we think we have. God's plan is to say, no, it's going to be you. It's going to be you telling someone else. It's His plan. Always has been. That's the link. But there's more links. Look at verse 15. It says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Okay, preaching depends on sending. Okay, that's it. Now we're getting to the crux of the matter right here, okay, for us tonight. There's two types of sending that are necessary. First, the preacher, or rather in our context this evening, the missionary, must have authority that sends him. Okay? So, we don't find God's plan to be someone that just says, I'm going to go out here to this place and I'm going to do it. We don't ever see that. We don't ever see that. You say, yeah, we do. We see Philip, the Ethiopian. No, God sent him. Matter of fact, we can read about that. And when he was done, he went back. Okay, we find where he was at, the church at Jerusalem sent somebody down there. So what we find, the authority, the missionary must have the authority, the sense of that is the local church. It's been the local church from the beginning. Missionaries are not representatives of themselves. God's plan is for churches to plant churches. That's what we find in the New Testament plan. It's a New Testament plan, church to start churches. For missionaries to be sent from churches that will oversee them. Just as Barnabas and Saul of Tarsus were sent out from the church in Jerusalem. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto where I've called them. See? It's God's plan. God's plan. It's divine order. He said, Pastor, are you saying somebody can't go out and share the gospel without being sent from a church? That's not what I'm saying. I think there's the difference between having the power of God or having all of your own strength. Will God use? Listen, He says this, my word will not return unto me void. Okay? It's the word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the word of God that does that. So it's not us, we're the vessel, but I'm telling you, there's a difference when we do things God's way. It's more than one person. There's a church established and generations of people. The problem in America through our great awakenings is that the great awakenings fizzled out because the churches weren't planted behind them in a lot of those places. A lot of great evangelistic meetings, but then they But where there was churches established, it had a lot longer. This is God's plan. It's a divine order. So there's two things about sending. First is that the church sending out the missionary. But second, there is the sending of other churches in the way of meeting their needs on the journey. We also find the Apostle Paul in the Scriptures using that. And we find that we looked at Philippians last week. 3 John, the missionary last week, talked about 3 John helping them on their way after a godly sort. We find this kind of thing. This has been the plan in the Word of God. People, other churches helping them on their way. So the question is not whether preaching is necessary. We find that the link is necessary. But whether sending will happen. Okay? So we find here the final link in this chain that the Apostle Paul has developed for us. So point number three is this. The church stands at the sending link. We stand at the sending link. That's where we're at. The missionary is visible. But the sender is often invisible. Often invisible. You say, well, Pastor, can't we be the preacher link? Yeah, we could be that one too. We're talking about missions time. We're talking about the other link. The sending link, though, is just as vital as the rest of the chain. Just as vital. Which link of the chain is the most important? The one that attaches here or the one that attaches there? Well, we can do without that. No, and now you don't, you know, you got to, you know, we call that the weakest link, right? And the whole thing falls apart. I'm saying this tonight in this way. Sending is not secondary obedience. Well, we do all that thing, you know, I'm doing this, but a lot of churches throughout history and maybe more recently haven't been involved in missions. They've been involved in doing their own thing in their own place, and they've missed the other part of getting the gospel to around the world. I've been in churches. I know churches. I've talked to pastors that have said this thing, and they've said it, and they said our missions giving is our bus routes to our own city to bring back to our church. And then they didn't say that part, but our missions is to our own community. I'm like, man, that's, you're close. You know, it's almost all the world. It's all my community. Right? So sending is not secondary obedience. It's not extra credit. It's necessary for the chain to function. So if we believe verse 13, again, verse 13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we believe verse 13, then we must also fulfill verse 15, which says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? So point number four is this. Sending requires deliberate participation. Sending requires provision, right? Missionaries do not preach on a wind and a prayer, right? They live somewhere. And when you live somewhere, people want you to pay to live there, right? They travel somewhere. If you're going to go somewhere, it takes resources. Maybe they should just live off faith. Trusting God for their provision. Amen? Just trust God. I mean, that's what we do also, right? I mean, no need for a paycheck. No need for savings or a budget. Just living by faith. Amen? I want to think about this concept just for a minute. Keep your string here, a card or something. We're just going to turn over to James in chapter 2. James in chapter 2. Y'all know I like to go to James. James in chapter 2. I want us to think about this concept for a moment. James chapter 2 and verse 14. He says this, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? can faith save him? He says here in verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Amen. Bless you. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Well, I bless them. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Living by faith is what we want others to do while we sit and enjoy our peace and rest. I don't mean just missionary. I mean, you know, everybody, man, they just need to live by faith. You know, like why we... It's easier to talk about, you know, when I'm in trouble, right? Anyway, look here. I want to look at one last verse, one last passage tonight. You can turn over to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. Find Jesus giving parables here and trying to teach some things to his apostles. And chapter 11, verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, let me have three loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I want to see something from this illustration that Jesus gives here. This man, let's let him represent the missionary tonight. Okay? You know, with me? Can we do that? Well, we're going to use Jesus' illustration to illustrate another illustration, right? So though this man doesn't have the provisions needed, I want you to see this. The provision is not for himself. Do you see that? He's not begging bread of his neighbor because he's hungry. It's not for himself. He's begging provision to meet the needs of another. Not self-serving, not self-willed, not greed, but begging to go preach to a people who are waiting to hear that they might believe and thus call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You know, I've heard people, not a lot, I've heard this, different people around, call missionaries moochinaries. There's nothing that, I don't think there's much that aggravates me as much as that. Because I know a lot of these people and I've lived it. We've sold everything we've owned, and put it in what we could carry in suitcases two times in our life. And then we had to go around to churches just like ours and ask people for money to help us buy more stuff in another country. To reestablish our life. Our first time, we came home with debt up to our neck trying to just get it there. Second time, I was had a little more experience. I'll tell you, folks, when these missionaries come and you see the things and they're asking for help with buying a vehicle or help do this, you know, you're like, yeah, but that's theirs. They want to have a vehicle. Yeah, those people. You know, James Ree, this guy, doesn't want to have to take three buses and carry stuff, and, you know, he wants to have a vehicle to get him there. Right? This isn't about begging bread for their own need. It's about begging bread to provide it for someone else. Listen, I want us to, this year tonight, I want us to get this thought. Let's not be that neighbor that says, and I don't think you are, folks, I'm preaching this message, okay? All right? Like, what pastor must think? No, I'm just preaching. Amen? If it gets you there, then let it. And if it doesn't, you're like, man, I'm glad, amen. You take this message to someone else. But let's not be that neighbor that says, trouble me not. I'm here in my comfort. Snuggled up in my bed, right? Meeting the needs of my family. I cannot be bothered. I cannot rise up. I cannot give. It's really the parable of Jesus. That's what he's saying there. Whew, that's convicting, isn't it? I don't like that stuff. I don't like stories like that. Kind of like the truth that gets a little like me. Because I like comfort. I mean, maybe it's just me. Back in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, he says, how shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Folks, this is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. This chain that starts with sending and ends with feet carrying the gospel of peace. I hate that I would hate something as beautiful as this. You know what I'm saying? Why would I be so... It brings glad tidings of good things. I love missions. Don't you? I just love hearing about people going to places that nobody else wants to go. Here's a challenge tonight. The question for us is this. Whether we will be the missing link or the sending link. Let's all stand. Father, I do pray that you would, Lord, help us to really take your truth, Lord. I do pray that we're not emotionally steered people, but that we might be a scripture-driven people. Lord, you've given a divine order. Lord, it's not our plan. It's not our desire. It's not what we have come up with, but Lord, it is yours. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be involved in our part. Lord, and we'll give you thanks for it now.